I see Richie's face right now. He's trying to do the lyrics, right?
Yeah. Oh, Louie, Louie.
I guess it's these parts where it's kind of like in the background hard. He's just kind of yelling and saying stuff.
Oh, yeah. I guess I don't know these words.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know
him.
You're
saying Louie, Louie, we've got to go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, yeah.
I don't know. Ask the FBI. Or you can. There you go. 215-592-9494. In honor of Louie, Louie being apparently unintelligible at any speed, according to the FBI. When they did a study on it for some reason, give us the best song lyric at the end of your call of all time, and you'll join us at the Phillies game June 1st. All right, back to the phones in a minute. 215-592-9494. Let's go out on the guest line and do what we do every single Tuesday at this time. Talk to our buddy. You can follow his work at 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Of course, the Go Birds podcast with some dude, Elliot Short Parks. What up, pal?
What's going on, guys? Good to talk to you.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, you bet you're partied up. How was it, buddy?
You know, I'm not going to lie. There was a point yesterday when I was half wondering if I was going to have to call out because my voice was extremely raspy, but it did recover, and I had a very, very fun few days in Miami. It is good to be home and sleep in my own bed, I will say that, after an exhausting few days. But, yeah, it was an awesome time.
Was it debaucherous?
I mean, it was somewhat debaucherous. You know, I would say.
A little bit of debauchery. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know how you would define debauchery, but, you know, probably not. I'll probably save the pod to share all the stories.
There you
go.
Know,
over the radio.
That's what we call a tease. We're recording it after the show. Check out the new Go Bird spot. All right, Elliot, we have not had you on the show since the schedule was released. What are your general reactions to the schedule after you saw it?
So when I first saw the schedule, my initial reaction was, we're really underestimating how good this team is going to be. Now, if that's the result of the schedule, so be it. But
Hold on. So the schedule doesn't make the team better or worse, right? Like the schedule, I don't mean to interrupt, but like I do want to differentiate, like the record that comes out at the end, if we determine that this is I read your article. I mean, like a double-digit win team. Does that mean we are good when we saw what happened last year when we were deemed a playoff team and we were not?
Well, so I would counter that in a few ways. A, I do think the schedule does dictate how good you are because you can only play who's on the schedule, and it dictates that you're better than the majority of the teams on the schedule. Mm-hmm. And I also think that if we're now going to go two seasons, and let's assume they do, you know, take advantage of the schedule again. Let's say they're like last year. I think they're a better team than last year, so they'll win more games. But for the second year in a row, I think we would all agree that when you go through the schedule, you look and you say they should win a lot of these games because of the schedule, right? But if that's the case, then, you know, how many years does it have to go before we just say it's because they're one of the better teams, right? Like, it's not a four-game stretch we're pointing at this point. It'll be, you know, 17 or 34 games or whatever of us looking and saying, yeah, they're better than the majority of these teams, and these games are all very winnable. So you are right that, you know, they don't play the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos. Like, they're not in the AFC West. But the bottom line is, if you put out a schedule 2 years in a row, in both years you go through and say, oh, well, they're just better than these teams. Of course they're going to win. Then maybe at a certain point we have to look and say, they're just a good team.
Hmm. Well, I saw that you had them for 13 wins. That is definitely a massive total. But doesn't 13 wins signify an elite team by today's NFL standards?
Yeah, so when I do my schedule predictions, I don't do this thing where I go like, well, they're going to win one game they're not supposed to win, and they're going to lose a game they're supposed to win. Like, I don't do that. I just go right through and I say, do I think they will win this specific game? And when I did that, I came in with 13 wins. Now, do I think they'll actually win 13 games? Like, I would say probably not, but I do think this is a team that could win 11 or 12 games. And again, because when you look at it, I think the schedule really broke their way. There's really only one stretch. It's the stretch where you have the Packers, the Titans, and the Colts back-to-back-to-back weeks. But outside of that, the beginning of the schedule is easy. The ending of the schedule is easy. They get the Cowboys at home first, which I think is actually an advantage in terms of building a lead in the division. I mean, I don't think there's many ways the schedule didn't break their way. And what we learned about the team last year was they win the games they're supposed to. When you look at last year, outside of really the Giants game off the top of my head, I don't think there was another game where you could point to and say it was a bad loss. Like, they beat the teams they're supposed to, and there's really not a lot of teams on the schedule that I think are definitely better than them.
13 wins is that's what we had the year we went to the Super Bowl. When we won the Super Bowl,
one last game, and they didn't play the last week for what it's worth.
I know, but still, I mean, that is a lofty expectation. Like 13 wins, just it signifies something in my mind.
No, I agree. Yeah, and if they win 13 games, obviously that they're probably the number one seed in the NFC, right? But where do you look at the schedule and say they're going to lose this game, right? Like the Packers, that's probably a loss. I bet they lose at Dallas. That's probably a loss. Mm-hmm. Maybe split with the Titans and the Colts, right? Like it's hard to find the losses. Houston, Detroit, they're going to win those games. Like Minnesota at home, they get an advantageous situation. The two Giants games, right? Like there's just not a lot of games. The Jaguars here, there's not a lot of games where you point and you go, you know, this is a game that they should lose. Like, just overall, at the schedule, they're going to be favored in the vast majority of games they play.
So if this team wins 13 games, Jalen Hurts is going to be our quarterback for the next, what, 5 years? I mean, what does Jalen need to do this season to make sure he's the quarterback past 2022?
Yeah. So after seeing what Carson did in 2017, and then he wasn't the quarterback for 5 years after that, I think I'll hesitate to ever say something going to be the quarterback for sure, right? So, but I get your overall point that if they win 13 games, yes, Jalen's in a great spot. But here's where I would say I think Jalen needs to do next year to ensure that he's the quarterback in 2023 is win a playoff game. I mean, look at last year. I think is actually kind of a prime example. You know, the team made the playoffs. People were feeling good going into the playoffs, or at least a lot of people. I know not everybody was, but a lot of people were feeling really good about where the team was at. Sirianni was great. Jalen was, you know, overachieving, all those things. And then they lost in the playoffs in an embarrassing fashion, and things completely changed. So as much as the regular season does matter and how Jalen develops does matter, this team has got to show that come playoff time, when they play, you know, in an elite-level team, which presumably you're playing in the playoffs, that they can win, right? That they can win those type of games. If for the second year in a row, the regular season is deemed a success, and last year was a success, if for the second year in a row it's a success and they lose in the playoffs, then I don't think it's a lock, Jalen's back in 2023. We can call that fair, unfair, whatever, but the bottom line is the Eagles are always going to be looking, as we saw this offseason, and for Jalen to lock down the job, I think he has to win a playoff game this year.
Wow. Okay. That's tall order. What is the holdup on signing a legitimate second cornerback for this team?
Well, this has kind of always been the Eagles' playbook. If you look at how they've handled the situation, you know, with Howie kind of 2.0 since 2016, they've always been okay waiting and finding cornerbacks at the last minute. They did it with Ronald Darby. Here they went to the Super Bowl. They did it with Steven Nelson last year. Like, they have a track record of doing this and, frankly, doing a pretty good job at it. Now, obviously, the James Bradbury released by the Giants could be a game changer with that. There's not often a cornerback of his skill set available right now. Normally, those guys are already signed. So I think Bradbury's a possibility, but if they're not going to sign him, I think they'll do what they, you know, do most years. They'll go to training camp or at least right around it, see how they feel. They still have mini camps to see how the cornerbacks look. And then at that point, they can make a move. But if it's not Bradbury, I do think they'll wait to make like a starting type caliber move.
Are there any other changes you expect? I mean, prior to the season starting, I'm still worried about the safety spot also, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the safety spot's a bigger concern than the cornerback spot. Now, I think James Bradbury is better than any safety that's available right now. So in that regard, I would take Bradbury over signing a safety. But when you look at the Eagles' cornerback spot, they have Darius Slay, who's one of the best corners in the league. They have Avante Maddox, who's making a case, you know, kind of after last year, to be one of the better nickel corners in the league. So sure. I think their cornerback spot, if you look at the three guys, is actually, you know, not that bad. But the safety spot is where there's major issues. You know, Marcus Epps, Anthony Harris, I don't see how you can go into the year with them as your safeties again. Kayvon Wallace still has a lot to prove. Like, there are a lot of question marks there. So I think safety is a spot where they have to do something before week one. You can't go into week one
right
with those two safeties.
The let's move on to the Sixers. How likely is it that the Sixers land a star this offseason? We're told that is Daryl Morey's plan. Is it doable in your mind?
Yeah, so I think in reality, the only way the Sixers are going to achieve, you know, be better next year and, you know, finally make it out the second round is if they go and get a Bradley Beal or a Donovan Mitchell. And I think Donovan Mitchell might be a little unrealistic. I think Bradley Beal really is. You can't go into next year with Joel Embiid and James Harden as your two guys without making an addition around them. Like, I tried to talk myself into the team. I thought they were going to be good enough. I saw what Joel did I thought Harden would turn it around. I was wrong. Like, and to go into next year saying that, okay, we think with a full off season of Harden and Embiid, like, yeah, you'll make the playoffs. You'll probably get out of the first round. But I don't think that anybody should believe that they can do it. And I used to, and now I don't, like, flat out. The results dictate how I feel. And watching what happened those last two games, it completely changed my mind on them. So when you talk about going out and getting a superstar, it has to be a Bradley Beal. It has to be a Donovan Mitchell. They have to go get somebody they can count on come playoff time. Like, they just have to. And those are probably the best options out there for them to go and do that.
Would you include Maxey?
I would, yeah. Wow. I like Maxey. Obviously, he's improved a lot. But, like, bottom line, when I see Maxey, I still see a guy that's probably best suited, in my opinion, to be, like, an elite six man or something like that. Like, I think if you can go out and get Bradley Beal for Maxey, I would do it, just because then you have Embiid, Harden, and Maxey. I'm sorry, Embiid, Harden, and Beal, you're more able to win right now, in my opinion. Let's be honest, like, Maxey wasn't great, you know, for stretches of the playoffs either. So I still think, you know, there's some developing he has to do. I wouldn't want to trade Maxey. It's not like I'm out on Maxey, but you have to go and get a star. Like, that's who wins in these leagues. And, you know, Maxey's your best trade chip.
All right, last thing before we let you go, I can't think of a more perfect person to ask this to. Our side topic for the day is best song lyric of all time, Elliot Short Parks. What's the best song lyric of all time?
Oh, man, I am so bad at thinking of song lyrics on the fly. Like, when I was first coming on, I heard you tease that. I thought, man, what a great topic. And then I instantly got nervous you would ask.
Well, you can thank Moshe Kravitz for me asking, because he got in my ear and said you have to ask him what the best song lyric was. And I was right, like, you're correct, Moshe.
Here's what I'll say. So I remember when the Eagles went to London, I wore a pea coat and I put a Kanye lyric, "Look at this pea coat, tell me he's broke." And I got a lot of likes on it for Instagram. So I'll go with that. That'll be my song lyric.
That's a good job.
I'll let Instagram dictate my answer.
That's a good job by you, Elliot. All right, buddy. We'll see you in a bit.
Thank you.
See you, pal. Yeah, good stuff there. Came through. Had a lyric. Maybe not the best.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, he dug deep.
Wow. Better than I expected from Elliot when it comes to song lyrics.
Had an answer, which I think was a surprise to begin with, right?
You know, man, he brings up an idea that, I mean, think about it. He's saying 13 wins when he goes down through the schedule. 13 wins, to me, am I like on an island here? Like, 13 wins is a big deal. 13 wins is you rest for the first week of the playoffs with 13 wins. And we're saying that this team is capable of doing that. And in large part, it's because the schedule is what the schedule is.
Yeah.
But is that enough to say, okay, that's going to be our quarterback for the next 5 years?
Well, that's
going to be our coach for the next 5 years, because we sat out the first round of the playoffs with a 13-win regular season.
Look, I don't think they're going to win 13 games. I think
it's not rectifiable in my mind.
But I think Elliot makes a really good point about Carson Wentz and kind of changing how we view that. Just because if Jalen Hurts goes out and wins 13 games, even if they give him a contract, that doesn't mean that Jalen Hurts is the Eagles' quarterback for the next 5 years. It doesn't. Things change really quickly in the NFL now. People take their team out of their Twitter bio, and all of a sudden they're getting traded in this net. Stuff happens.
I think a big reason for that is because Carson Wentz changed.
It's possible.
You know, and I don't expect Jalen Hurts will change. I don't expect that success will damper his enthusiasm for self-improvement. You know, will damper his work ethic. You know, he's just different. And I appreciate that about him a lot.
But, I do too.
But it does – Man, if our schedule, if we are all overjoyed by this schedule, it's going to create some real questions.
Like, well, there's real stakes.
If we end up making good on this schedule, are we really that good? Or does it just look like we're that good?
I think
that... But look, this year, we've all said this is the year Jalen Hurts has to put up or shut up and prove that he belongs. This is the year that Nick Sirianni, he now, you know, with the year under his belt, like, you have to prove, you have to show us that you are one of the best coaches in this league. If they go out and take advantage of this schedule, does it
Well, there's context. There's context to everything, right? Like, yes, they could go, you know, you can win games 10-7. You can win, you know, like, who knows, right? But, like, assuming Jalen goes out and looks good in doing it, then, yeah, I think we're excited about Jalen's future, and I think that he's here. And I'm okay with that. Like, that would be great. That's the best-case outcome. The best-case outcome is Jalen Hurts takes a huge leap, and he's awesome.
If that happens, if he takes that leap, man, this team is good to go.
Yeah.
For a while.
Well, it's massive. That's
Think about that.
I know. Well, yeah. That's the exciting thing. And that's the biggest, that's why it's the biggest question. I think Jalen Hurts has as much, when you're taking the money into account, the team, the city, the whole thing, I think he has as much pressure, if not more pressure on him than any player in the NFL this year, when you take the stakes that this man has in front of him into account. 215, right? 215-592-9494. I mean, I can't think anyone else who has more.
Yeah.
With the contract on the line?
He's got, he's got 17 games.
215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones, go to D.C. and talk to Craig. What up, Craig?
Greetings, best damn midday sports show in the world. How y'all doing, fellas?
Great, Craig.
What a pleasure, buddy. How you doing?
Good to talk to y'all, man. I know I don't get to call as much every now and then, but it's always a pleasure, man. Hey, what y'all do with the hammer today, man? Did he have an ingrown toenail or something? What happened?
No, he's got a legitimate reason to be out today. For once.
Okay. No problem. Hey, I just wanted to call in, man. Great conversation as usual, man. I think I said I was going to talk Phils and Eagles at first. Let me just say something real quick on the Sixers. We are in a massive problem situation with the Sixers because, I mean, we made this bed and now we got to sleep in. I'm going to tell you, I'm over 50 years old, so I saw them, you know, winning in 83, and it's just so disheartening. They are the next team that I really want to see win one, you know, either them or the Flyers, whoever, I don't care, but it's just so disheartening to see them in the shambles that they're in right now. And we can come up with scenarios all day long. I don't know how they're going to fix it, to be honest with you, fellas. This is a mess. I mean,
it is.
Embiid is a problem. Embiid is a beast, but I'm so tired of him pouting on the court, showing lack of leadership. He has no fire as a leader to get in somebody's face and snatch him by the neck, you know, like Shaq or Barkley would do. And the whole Harden thing, Daryl Morey, Josh, the owner, this guy's not a basketball. This guy's all about money. He's a basketball, you know, he's an investor. Come on, man. We need some Philly heart and some kind of Philly grid and toughness on this team. We need dogs, you know what I'm saying? We need Pat Bev's. We need P.J. Tucker's. We need Butler's. I mean, I still cringe to this day over the fact that we had Butler on our team and let him go.
Craig, you're not the only one, buddy.
I still can't believe it, brother. Yeah, it's just hard, man. So you can come up with all the scenarios you want. It's going to be tough, fellas. I mean, we just going to have to strap in and hope for the best for him, really.
Look, Craig, I do think that, and I know there are a lot of people down on him right now because of how the Harden trade ultimately played out, but Daryl Morey is a really, really smart guy. I mean, he's really, he went to MIT. Like, he's a genius. And he's creative, and he understands the way to maneuver in these things. So I'm not saying he's definitely going to get it done, but I do think they have a general manager who at least thinks outside the box.
I believe in him. There is a way out, Craig. There is a way out. And that answer is you go get Bradley Beal. You convince Bradley Beal that this is where he wants to play. And you get helped out a little bit by the fact that he's going to try to facilitate that. And I guess the big question is, can Daryl Morey somehow make that happen without getting rid of Tyrese Maxey?
Craig, what do you got on the Birds?
Exactly. All right, real quick on the Birds. I kind of agree with Elliot. I'm not as optimistic 13 wins, but when you look at this schedule, man, the tough games are at home. We got Green Bay. We got Tennessee. You know, I'm worried about the Colts game. And keeping an eye on that Saints game at the end, man, that could be a showstopper.
Yeah, that's going to – there's a lot of play in that one. You're right.
I think the Saints and the Vikings. Saints and the Vikings were all sort of in that same vicinity.
Well, the Saints one has that extra level of we're playing against them for the draft pick, too. So it is a fascinating extra level to that one.
Mm-hmm. And then let's not forget, we always have our brain fart against the damn Skins or the freaking Giants where we'll split.
Well, that's what Richie was talking about, and it feels like almost every year. Craig, you got a song lyric for us?
Exactly, fellas. So I got him like 11, 12 wins. But, yeah, I do have a song, fellas. Let me give you this one. this is one that, man, I'm telling you, it's a tearjerker at times. I've heard at weddings, I've heard at funerals, it can be played everywhere, but let me just read it out to you.
Lay it on us.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? You're everything I wish I could be. I could fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings.
Craig,
that's
a great line, and it's one of those that, you know, you kind of, it's so, he's right. You hear it at weddings, you're at funerals, you can hear it anywhere, and it's one that you kind of get, it's cliched out, you know? Yeah. But when you just read the line like that, it's a hell of a lyric. It really is.
Some Bette Midler on the midday
Rich,
show.
You know, DeCamera's girl. Yeah. Loves Bette.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. In many ways.
She and Babs.
Loves her music, loves her looks, just totally in on Bette Midler. So
he is.
He always has
huge
been.
Huge fan.
The Rose. How many times have you brought that up?
I
like
know.
A million. Two
on my favorite song. Aside from Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yes, exactly. What a weird guy. Yeah. All right, let's keep it going. Let's go to Williamstown and talk to Steve. Stevie.
What's going on, fellas? How are you today?
Doing well, Steve.
What a bizarre song to do a study on in Louie Louie, huh?
Oh, by the way, I'm happy you said that real quick, Steve, because I should have brought this up. Jason Northdruft tweeted in, thank you, Jason. He says, you got to share the whole story for why they did the FBI investigation. Apparently, in 1963, the Kingsmen recorded Louie Louie, and the popularity of this song and difficult discerning the lyrics led some people to suspect that the song was obscene. So the FBI was asked to investigate whether or not the song violated laws, you know, interstate, you know, FCC type stuff. And apparently they discovered that there was no evidence of obscenity in the song.
Wait,
so you
said that the complaint was issued when?
1963.
And they just finished their investigation?
No, they finished in 65. They finished in 65. Well,
holy
that's
mackerel.
What I said at the beginning of the show. I said in 1965 they said
okay. Because they should do Yellow Lead better, too, while they're at it. That's
you're right. That's an awesome song, man.
It is an awesome
song. Yeah, but I don't have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm driving around up in the Lehigh Valley today. It's 75 degrees out. My truck windows are down. I'm listening to Rift, which I know James will appreciate.
My man.
But, and I'm just so, I love this time of year, man. With the, you know, there's a game almost every day, and it's just beautiful. It's not cold out anymore, and it's just peaceful to me, man.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. It finally, and the Phillies, no off day again until, actually, funny enough, Richie, the day after this game we're going to is the next Phillies off day. The Phillies are playing straight through till June 2nd. So, and it's a awesome. Real stretch. Yeah, it is awesome, but it's a real stretch. They got the Padres now, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets. There's a lot of good teams coming up on the schedule, so it's going to be a big spot for this team, like the next 3 weeks or so.
So where are you guys? Do you know what section you guys are in yet or no?
We don't know yet, but, you know, we'll find out close
deal
to the
with
game.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you got a lyric for us?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, but it's so hard to pick the one guy in particular that is my dude. But the one that stands out in my head that came to my mind first is Blowing in the Wind by Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, did you want to go with a specific lyric or just Blowing in the Wind?
Just the song Blowing in the Wind.
Well, you got to pick a lyric. It's best lyric, not lyrics. You got to pick one lyric.
The answer, my friend, is Blowing in the Wind.
That's a good answer. All right, Stevie. Good call,
right,
brother.
Steve.
That is a good one.
That's profound.
That song is profound. That's a good one. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to Northeast and talk to Will. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bo. I don't know where the Tron is.
I know, right? I know.
Right.
But, you know, I just want to touch up on the Sixers. I really do think they're going to bring in another big star because just like the last caller said, I believe this owner is really about money and, you know, the tickets will go up. It's good for the team, but bad for the fans. You know, just like when Harden came, the tickets went up. So when you bring another star in, that's how it's going to work out. But
I mean, it's just what it is with that stuff.
Yeah,
well,
I know, absolutely. But, you know, I really want to see him bring in another center to help. Bring in another big man to help Embiid, man. You know, I know we need the shooting power, and I know we need the person that can pick up if Embiid not scoring. But I think he needs help down there, man. You know what I mean? And I would like them to see him pick up another big man. Even bring Drummond back if we can. You know?
It's certainly got to be part of the plan. I mean, that was a huge Achilles heel for this team in the postseason. And we all love Paul Reed. But, you know, I did appreciate his effort He's just not there yet where he needs to
be. He's not close.
He's not going to be there this upcoming season either. Like, it's not close. So it's certainly high on the list. I just, again, with our resources, he's going to have to pick and choose. I think first and foremost, the star is that's what's in his sights. And then everything else, I mean, these things could not, it's possible they won't fall in order until, you know, midway through next season, you know, that we finally settle on the roster that we want.
What do you got on the Eagles, Will?
And the Eagles, man, I really think, you know, like if we doing something, you know, in the off season right now before the season start practicing, like I say, Jalen, he looked like one of them types that's like kind of, I'm not going to say it in, on a Brady level, but Brady mentality as far as going, like really binding with his teammates. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's like clear. It's clear those guys. Those guys like him a lot. They believe in him. I definitely think that's important.
Practicing it, or, you know, getting that timing down. And I hope Sirianni is working on him reading defense, man.
Well, I'm sure. Will, don't worry. I'm sure that's the number one focus of what Jalen Hurts has been doing.
I mean, that is paramount. Every time. I can tell you, it's frustrating as a player, the fact that every time, every week during the season, and off season, they reinstall the offense. You know, when they show up for these organized team activities, they're reinstalling the offense. They're going back to square one, and they're teaching it. Every position, every play, here's your job. And they're going over that with Jalen. And then during the season, they will reinstall the offense, in particular for, you know, catered to that defense they're playing that week. They're working constantly on making sure he gets better at this.
Will, you got a song lyric?
Okay, let me just ask you this one. Have you ever heard of Brand Nubian, the rap group?
Who? I couldn't hear you.
Have you ever heard of Brand Nubian, the rap group?
I've heard the name, but I don't know them.
All right, so too many people are not going to know them. So I'm going to go with James Brown. It's a man's world. It's a man's world. It will be nothing without a woman or a girl.
It's a great one, Will. Ooh. It's a good line, man. It's a man's world. It's a great song.
Yes, it is.
Good looking out. 215-592-9494. You can win Phillies tickets with us to see the Phillies play the Giants in a couple weeks here on June 1st by giving us the best song lyric at the end of your call. Speaking of the Phillies coming up next, we'll look at that schedule coming up. Because it's a gauntlet, John Ritchie. If the Phillies can survive and even thrive over the next month, they're going to be in really, really good shape after that. We'll get to that next. It's Ritchie. It's Seltzer. It's the Midday Show.